CliffCentral.com. It is Ed Sheeran with Take Me Back to London. Just after 7 o'clock, CliffCentral.com.
Why doesn't he just take a flight?
Right, exactly. I mean, doesn't he...
Doesn't make a big song about it, just book a flight.
Exactly.
Yeah, why does someone else have to take
it? Right, why do we all have to get involved, Ed?
Oh, gosh.
Can't you figure out your own travel arrangements?
Yeah.
No, he clearly can't.
All right, good morning. What a day. What a way to start the year. I hope you're off to an awesome start. And if you aren't ready yet, don't worry. You're probably in the majority. I mean, there's probably lots of people who don't want to start the day yet. They don't want to start the year yet. Just get stuck in.
You'll figure it out.
We're all in this together.
That's right.
Let's do it.
Yes, very nice.
Nope. Leaving people who aren't ready aside, no.
Well, all right, here's how Hollywood's year started with Ricky Gervais telling them how it is. Listen to this.
Hello and welcome to the 77th Annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel here in Los Angeles. I'm Ricky Gervais, thank you.
It doesn't sound all too excited.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting these awards, so I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did. NBC clearly don't care either. Fifth time. So, I mean, Kevin Hart was fired from the Oscars because of some offensive tweets. Hello. Lucky for me, the Hollywood foreign press can barely speak English. And they've no idea what Twitter is. So I got offered this gig by fax. So let's go out with a bang. Let's have a laugh at your expense, shall we? Remember, they're just jokes. We're all going to die soon, and there's no sequel. So, yeah, remember that.
This is fantastic. What an opening.
But you all look lovely, all dolled up. You came here in your limos. I came here in a limo tonight, and the license plate was made by Felicity Huffman. So, no. It's her daughter I feel sorry for, okay? That must be the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to her. And her dad was in Wild Hogs. So, lots of big celebrities here tonight. I mean, legends, icons, yeah? Look, at this table alone, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. But
Martin Scorsese, they're all sitting there together.
Baby Yoda. Oh, that's Joe Pesci, sorry. I love you, man. Don't have me whacked. But tonight isn't just about the people in front of the camera. In this room are some of the most important TV and film executives in the world. People from every background, but they all have one thing in common. They're all terrified of Ronan Farrow. He's coming for you. He's coming for you.
Hashtag me too.
Look, talking of all you perverts, it was a big year... It was a big year for paedophile movies. Surviving R. Kelly, Leaving Neverland, Two Popes. Shut up. Shut up. I don't care.
That's so good.
Many talented people of colour were snubbed in major categories. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about that. The Hollywood foreign press are all very, very racist. So...
So good.
Fifth time. So,
they don't know what to do. By the way, Tom Hanks'
we
face.
We were going to do...
I just have to stop it here. Tom Hanks' face looks like he's been smashed in the head and he's just woken up and you've caught him off guard and he's just like, he doesn't know whether to laugh. And Tom Hanks is like one of the more relaxed people in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, because if you laugh too much...
Oh
then,
my God, then they're going to say you agree.
Yes.
God forbid you should have a sense of humor. But this is just... This is Ricky... Just because he doesn't care. He never has cared.
At his most raw.
I love this. Mm. And Hollywood, you can hear by the mumblings of the crowd, like you can hear there's this uncomfortable kind of moaning rather than laughter, right? Because these are the people who never hear this stuff about themselves, ever.
In memoriam this year, but when I saw the list of people that had died, it wasn't diverse enough. It just, no.
Nail.
It was mostly white people. And
nail political
thought, nah,
correctness.
Not on my watch. So, maybe next year. Let's see what happens. No one cares about movies anymore. No one goes to the cinema. No one really watches network TV. Everyone's watching Netflix. This show should just be me coming out going, well done, Netflix, you win everything. Good night. But no, no, we got to drag it out for 3 hours. You could binge watch the entire first season of Afterlife instead of watching this show.
Oh my God.
That's a show about a man who wants to kill himself because his wife dies of cancer. And it's still more fun than this, okay? Spoiler alert, season two is on the way. So in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself. Just like Jeffrey Epstein. Shut up. Oh. I know he's your friend, but I don't care.
Oh, my word.
You had to make your own way here in your own plane, didn't you? Right, but seriously, most films
to make
are awful,
your own way in your
lazy,
own
remakes, so sequels. Good. I've heard a rumour that there might be a sequel to Sophie's Choice. I mean, that'd just be Meryl Streep going, well, it's got to be this one then.
Oh, wow.
All the best actors have jumped to Netflix and HBO, you know. And the actors who just do Hollywood movies now do fantasy adventure nonsense. They wear masks and capes and really tight costumes. Their job isn't acting anymore. It's going to the gym twice a day and taking steroids, really. Have we got an award for most ripped junkie? No. No point. We know we'd win that. Martin Scorsese, the greatest living director, made the news for his controversial comments about the Marvel franchise. He said they're not real cinema and they remind him of theme parks. I agree. Although I don't know what he's doing hanging around theme parks. He's not big enough to go on the rides, is he? It's tiny. Right. The Irishman was amazing. It was amazing. Look, it was. It was great. Long, but amazing. It wasn't the only epic movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, nearly 3 hours long. Leonardo DiCaprio attended the premiere, and by the end, his date was too old for him.
So,
I love this.
Even Prince Andrew's like, come on, Leo, mate. You know,
oh.
You're nearly 50, son.
That's great. Shit, this is good.
The world got to see James Corden as a fat pussy. He was also in the movie Cats, but no one saw that.
No one
reviews,
watched that.
Oh, shocking. I saw one that said, this is the worst thing to happen to cats since dogs, right?
That is so true. I don't know if you've seen...
I've only seen the bad reviews.
No, So there was a trailer for it on something that I went to see. Might have been Star Wars. I don't know. Anyway, there was a trailer for this cat's... Sweet Lord Jesus. If you want to know what hell looks like in my head, hell. Hell is Andrew Lloyd Webber music set to people in cat outfits.
Looking ridiculous.
Dancing around, singing stupid lyrics. It's the worst thing that has ever happened in cinema. The worst. I would rather. You know that there's that series that you told us don't fuck with cats,
mm-hmm.
right? So I watched part of that. I didn't watch the whole thing because I'm not that invested. But that is better than Cats. In every which
it
way.
It makes and you want to watch it though.
And people actually come out of the don't fuck with cats looking really bad. People come out looking bad.
Mm-hmm.
In Cats. Cats and people come out looking bad. That's how bad it is.
But Dame Judi Dench defended the film, saying it was the role she was born to play. Because she... I can't do this next joke.
Go on.
Because she loves nothing better than plonking herself down on the carpet, lifting her leg and licking her...
Woo! Oh! Jesus.
Verbal.
Oh, my word.
She's old school.
I hope she wasn't
this
in the audience.
Okay.
Guys, Ricky Gervais is never going to be invited on anything anymore, and he doesn't give a shit.
No, he will, because they knew exactly what they were doing.
No one would have watched it if it weren't for him.
He did exactly the same thing for the Golden Globes years ago, and the Golden
right.
Globes understand that actually...
And then they said they weren't going to get him back, and then they did.
They knew if they had a... late night talk show host just hosted and made clean cut jokes, it would the ratings would dwindle, well, as all of these shows have been.
What we're listening to, and by the way, I'm not playing this for you because you might watch it yourself anyway, and you probably will. This is like a teaser, in effect, for anyone who's interested in watching how culture is changing right now before your very eyes. This is the antidote that a lot of people have been waiting for, a public version of that antidote, which they've been feeling in their own heads for a very long time, against political correctness and wokeness and this ugliness that you've dealt with on social media for 5-6 years now that you're sick of. This is Ricky Gervais is basically leading the charge.
And I hope it is the beginning.
And the ugliness that big companies hide.
Yes. And he has, apparently he had a go at Apple, Leanne told us. Yeah. There's a lot of other good stuff. I just want to give it another minute and then we'll move on to discussing the thing and getting into some other news stories. We got to talk about Melville. There was that shooting. The first thing someone said to me when they heard about this story over the holidays was, is Leanne okay? Because she lives in Melville.
Apparently, well, it happened in my street.
Happened in her street.
One block away.
We'll get the lowdown on that from her and find out from you what's going on. You can always get hold of us on 0797482090. Let's just wrap up with Ricky Gervais just closing off his monologue and then we'll move on.
Oh, Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show, a superb drama, yeah. A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. Oh. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and...
Fuck off, he said.
So...
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful.
It's already 3 hours long. Right, let's do the first award. The first award.
He's so exasperated.
Oh my word.
The first award is for best actor in a television series, musical, or...
Okay, that's just the greatest ending, and I had to get
wow.
to it because...
That was hard-hitting, man.
And by the way, again, at this point, Tom Hanks actually looks like miserable and unhappy and uncomfortable and disapproving, most importantly, disapproving. Remember... These guys and girls in Hollywood,
that's uncomfortable.
No one ever talks to them like this. No one.
Yeah.
They are the most spoiled people in all of human history. They make pharaohs in ancient Egypt look like they had it tough. They do not encounter any ugliness in their life. At least pharaohs used to go to war and would be poisoned by their own families and had horrible things happen to them. And would, you know, be operated on by people who didn't know what they were doing most of the time. If they had some life-threatening condition. These actors and actresses have no idea of how to deal with anything that triggers them, that sets them off. So Ricky Gervais, brave as ever, he has to go down now as the bravest comedian in the world. Him, Dave Chappelle. You see how it's all turning? Like, comedy is now going back to making fun of and having fun with everything. There are no sacred cows anymore. For the last couple of years, everything's been a sacred cow. Anything that people decided, you know, you had to be woke to understand. All of that's disappearing now. Nobody gives a shit about your wokeness. Thank the Lord. And if you think that stuff's still going to keep you relevant, good luck to you. You're about to be pilloried. This is not going to be a good year for you if you're woke. 2020 is your nemesis. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm certain the people in that room were just dialing in their minds like, should I clap now?
Oh.
Should I laugh at this? Okay, no, this is awkward. Okay, eye contact. No eye contact. Oh, I don't know where to look.
What a great way to start the year. What a great way. Thank you, Ricky Gervais.
Oh, bad, but so good.
Fuck yeah. This is what we've been waiting for.
And imagine being the director of the actual award show, because the director has to call the shots. Like, okay, camera three, okay, go to this one, go to Tom Hanks. You're like, who do you go to? Because everyone's cringing.
Go to the floor.
Yeah, well, just
flowers.
Here's a good point that's being made by AS. Did Ricky Gervais just spell the end of glorification of award ceremonies for actors and the like, or simple tongue-in-cheek awards show hosting? Yep. You can't just go up there now after this and just do a nice, friendly, let's tell a joke, do Billy Crystal, have a dance. It's not going to happen. My gran, oh, the shame. Let's just spare a thought this morning for Candace. Her gran dragged her to see Cats. And I thought of making myself vomit so that we could leave. That's how bad Cats is. Let's just put that in there. Anybody's thinking of seeing that. Cats, the trailer, was a real prequel to how terrible it is. Hope Hollywood pulls itself to reality. Think they've been in fairy tale land long enough. 2020 busting it real. That's from Ruth this morning. Yes, indeed. All right, well, we got to turn our attention to local matters. And there was an ugly shooting in Melville because, you know, there are a couple of stories to start the year off. One of them is load shedding, although that's hardly news. Melville, they had an ugly shooting. There were a bunch of people. It was like a drive-by.
It was a drive-by, yes.
And a few people were killed, and there was a memorial service yesterday.
Killed,
yeah. So tell us the whole story, Leanne, because you lived a road away from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's in my road.
Jesus.
I'm a block away.
Oh.
But I was on holiday at the time.
So you weren't at home?
No, but thank I did God. Wake up to the news. And I mean, I know the restaurant owner. It scared me, you know, but and I almost put on my crime hat. I almost said, I'm moving to Perth. But if you actually just break down the incident, it was very isolated and it involved specific people. So it wasn't just a random drive-by shooting. The details still aren't clear, but it seems as if there was a fight going on. Obviously, all of this happened just outside of Poppy's, but there were Poppy's patrons. Poppy's is the name of the restaurant and also the woman who owns it.
Yes.
And the fight carried on.
And by
and
the way,
got
I, hate,
to the point,
I hate it when people blame the restaurant like
no,
they had something to do
exactly.
with it.
The fight carried on, got to the point where one of the men said, I'm going to be coming back. And he did in a black BMW SUV, which is now on camera. I believe the plates were removed.
Oh, wow.
And drove past and opened fire. People thought it was gunshots because it was at 1 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Eve. So
they thought
New
it was
Year's
fireworks,
Day.
You mean?
So what did I say?
Gunshots.
It was gunshots.
I was waiting for you to complete that sentence. Going, then, yeah, what else could they have thought?
There
of?
Were fireworks in the streets, so a lot of people thought it
that's
was that.
That's what you are.
It seemed that there were a lot of people shot either in the hip or the leg.
Aina.
So it seemed as if he was aiming quite low. But Jesus. Once they'd fallen, he shot... Two shots hit two women in the head and they died on the scene.
Oh, my God.
And the rest were rushed to hospital, some by their friends, because apparently the police were very slow to respond. The police have denied this and said, well, not denied it, but protected themselves almost by saying, listen, it's the busiest night of the year. But, yeah, it started off from a fight that started out between two groups of people. And apparently...
So it's not random crime. Let's
no,
not
it's
imagine
not
people
random
are,
crime. It's not know, the killer.
Yeah, people running around just shooting at each other
no.
in some bizarre way. This is
and
all
that's
stuff.
And that's how oh. I'll continue to process it in my head. It just happened to be near to where I live. Could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, and also there were other shootings that night as well. Mary Fitzgerald Square, 11 people were shot.
I just
and that was a guy,
that.
A random guy on the M2 highway on the bridge and just shot into the car.
There have been a bunch of videos circulating of people doing dumb stuff with fireworks. I don't know if you've seen some of those.
Look, I didn't hear about that. I didn't hear the fireworks thing because full disclosure, and I alluded to this slightly just before we left, I was waiting to just get off the cycle of being so sucked into the news and what's happening now, and it just builds up paranoia. I spent, because I only got back to Joburg yesterday afternoon, I spent a bit of yesterday and early this morning getting back into the swing of things. Like, what is actually happening? I didn't, over the past 2 weeks, go onto a CNN, an ABC, a Time.com. I do not know what has been happening. And I think that has actually bode me well. I was able to relax properly, really just unwind, because otherwise I think hearing all of this encouraging being an ostrich and putting your head in the sand, but to a certain extent it works.
Just to end off this Melville story, I think what some real good came out of this, it opened up the community to conversations on Facebook. There were some angry members of the public who eventually the conversations had to be shut down, but what was amazing is there are two psychologists in our community who immediately stepped forward and said, we will offer anybody who needs trauma counseling that for free.
Oh, wow.
And they also arranged a candlelight vigil in the street, which was apparently really peaceful. I didn't go to it, and just united the community. So something really good came out of it, and it showed that as a community, we're strong and we won't take this sort of crime.
Mm. Look, people do stupid stuff at New Year. We had Jonathan Witt on last year telling us about the injuries that come into hospitals at New Year. And they're just unreal stories that you can hear from people about broken bottles and fireworks.
It's too much hype. Stay at home. It's so much nicer. Yeah,
so we'll think about that for the next year, all right? 25 after 7, there are some other things that are worth exploring in the news this morning. And we're going to get into some of those. Again, if you want to get hold of us, as always, 0797482090. So let's look at 2020 and the year ahead. If one of your 2020 goals is to work on more productive habits and increase your own happiness in life, then Leanne has something for you.
Ooh, time to take notes then.
It's actually Yale that has something for you.
Wow.
Yale is offering a free course on the science of well-being. And it's all online.
Okay.
It starts today if you want to register and do it. It officially runs for 10 weeks. Each week has about 2 hours of coursework that you need to get through.
Okay.
Typically a mixture of readings and videos. For instance, this week involves 4 videos totaling 14 minutes and 8 different readings. This is the course description. In this course, you will engage in a series of challenges designed to increase your own happiness and build more productive habits.
Great.
As preparation for these tasks, Professor Laurie Santos reveals misconceptions about happiness, annoying features of the mind that lead us to think the way we do, and the research that can help us change. You will ultimately be prepared to successfully incorporate a specific wellness activity into your life.
All right, so get to the meaty stuff.
Well, it's all done at your own pace. You don't even pay a cent.
Oh, we don't have to pay?
No, it's free.
Okay.
So you can have a Yale course certificate.
I like this.
Under your belt and be a happier person.
And be
at the other end of it.
Sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, I'm all for this.
Hmm.
If you want the certificate, though, you do have to pay $50.
Oh, that T's and C's apply. So this is what they mean by it.
Well, for the certificate, it might be worth it. You put that on your wall and people go, what, you're a happiness qualification graduate?
From Yale.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can even put it on your LinkedIn profile in the certificate section.
Okay.
You can share that exact certificate.
Vinny just sent me a message to say, yes, Leanne, on your Melville shooting story, move to Perth. I'm always looking for champion boozers to party with here. So obviously, Vinny's in Perth.
I'm moving to Perth.
Good morning, Gareth, Leanne, Sia, and team. Hope you guys had a good break and welcome back. Can't wait for a good year with more Cliff Central. Regards, Josh. Thank you, Josh. And then with Australia burning, the Aboriginal flag, did you see it looks like the sun setting among burning skies? Perhaps all of this has happened before. It's so sad, but nature always comes back. Yeah.
Mm.
It's very sad. I mean, we mentioned this earlier. It's just one of the ugliest things about the start of this year. It's the fact that there are so many people, so many animals who are in peril in Australia.
The animals that are getting to me.
Well, of course, because, you know, some people care more about animals than people, and that's also okay.
We need people like that in the world.
Of course we do. I'm delighted to have people like that.
I like one of these Instagram models who is very good looking, and her name's like Kaylin, and she said, you know what, I really do want to help out with the animals in Australia who are victims of the fire. So if anyone wants any of my nudes, you can pay money and I'll DM them to you, as long as you donate the money to some of the relief funds that are helping
That's
out
fantastic.
Australia.
That's fantastic. How much did she raise?
$500,000
Wow.
That's amazing.
$500,000 Her name is Kaylin Ward. She's 20 years old. She lives in Los Angeles, and people have been DMing her. As long as you send her proof of payment, then she'll send you a unique photo. The demand was so high, she's had to employ 4 people over the past couple of days to actually configure all of these different things.
Do all the admin.
Yeah, and do all of the admin of it.
What
$500,000 sent to Australia.
That is such a beautiful story. So you see, there are people working hard.
Because of nudes.
But people will pay for nudes. She realizes this is, again, supply and demand.
It obviously works. Keep doing it.
Fantastic.
It will be a crush to the ego if I try that. Yeah, hey, guys.
I was going to say, if I did it, people would pay me not to.
Okay. So listen, there's some good stuff to start the year off with. There's a hero who does nudes to save
koalas.
There's a happiness course at Yale, which is free.
Mm.
Ricky Gervais has started us off with the right attitude to Hollywood.
Another thing, there's a toothbrush now that cleans your teeth, your mouth, and everything in 10 seconds.
What?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It's
that
called
like
the Y
tongue.
Brush.
Oh, yes.
It's basically a toothbrush in the shape of a retainer.
Oh, yeah?
Mm.
Tell me more.
So you put, and it's connected to a little motorized thing.
I like it.
It's owned by a French company called Fastiche. I don't know why.
Fastiche.
F-A-S. And then in the same word, but with a capital T-E-E-S. H, and the H is capital.
Well, that's probably how you sound when you have this contraption in your mouth.
I'm
just brushing my teeth. Fast tooth.
So it was crowdfunded in 2018, but now it's ready for its mainstream debut. Shipments of the Y-Brush started rolling out just before 2020. Pre-orders have been open since July 2018. So it's a flexible gum shield lined with nylon bristles on one side, attached to a square power base which you hold in your hand. Then you fill the bristle side with toothpaste, pop the retainer into your mouth, chomp down for 5 seconds while it cleans.
Mm-hmm.
Then you flip it over to do the other half of your pearly whites. 3 vibration modes, comes with a charging stand, and a fully charged battery should last for a month. I like this fast tissue idea.
I think it's great.
I think it's very good. It's $125. Includes a handle, the brush, the charger, toothpaste applicator, and a storage container.
Well,
it looks flipping scary, I'll tell you that much.
It looks like those teeth whitening things that you can buy. You know, those ones that fit over your lower jaw and then your upper jaw, and then you blast them with light and stuff.
It looks like it has its own teeth, though.
Yeah.
Those are the bristles.
Well, if it saves you time, 10 seconds, you say.
Mm, 5 That's at great. The top, 5 at the bottom.
Beautiful. That's excellent. You know what? We should all be in favor of everything that saves us time.
I kind of like the time, though, that I spend in my head when I'm brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
Gives you a chance to just slow down and plan your day.
All right, quick thing, because this is quite useful to know. What are the worst airports in the world? And let's just make a list of these in our heads ahead of the year so we can avoid them at all costs. The worst airports in the world.
Compiled by AirHelp,
okay,
which is an online airport rating system. And you'd think that it would be airports that we didn't really know about.
Mm-hmm.
But no. One of the worst is London Gatwick.
Oh.
Yes. That's the UK's second largest airport, rated one of the worst based on quality and punctuality.
Oh.
Also in there is one I've been to, Porto Airport in Portugal.
Yes.
If you're going to the Algarve, you go to Porto Airport, then you go to Aeroporto do Faro.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not a good one to go to.
No. So out of service restrooms, dirty restrooms, poor signage, delays. Orly Airport.
That's in France.
In Paris. Mm-hmm. That's on the list. Manchester Airport in the UK. Malta International Airport. And Eindhoven Airport in the Netherlands, Kuwait, wow. another Portuguese airport, Lisbon Portela. Portela.
The Portuguese not doing great at airports.
And in fact, that was the worst one, the worst in the world.
Really?
Overpriced food, rude staff, the lack of waiting areas, mayhem in most queues. And positive passenger feedback is seldom hard to come across.
Damn, so better to land in Spain and drive across the border.
Yeah, do that.
Don't use Portuguese airports.
Don't panic, run.
Don't panic, run. Yeah, by the way, that comes from a story of Leanne's about TAP.
TAP Airlines, which is Portuguese.
And an experience that she had on board TAP.
No, it was a friend of mine who's an air steward.
Oh, that's right.
They crashed. They crashed into a forest. And the air steward ran through and said, don't panic, run.
What is going on with your Siri?
My Siri, she's so active today.
She talks to you a lot.
Yeah.
This is very exciting. Well, I'll tell you what else is exciting. If you did some binge watching over the festive season, and if you did do that, you're not the only one. I did too. I hope you watched Agent. Mm-hmm. It's probably on the list of things that you watched. Agent is a gripping TV drama series on Netflix, and better yet, it is a proudly South African drama series, has ambitions to be as good as anything in the world. And if you want to hear about the team who put the show together, we've got the actor Sisanda Hena, who is Lesego Ace Moleko, and the creator, writer, director of the series. Geez, Athos, you really did everything. Creator, writer, and director.
Yeah, oh yeah, he did a whole lot.
He really did.
Write the theme tune, sing the theme tune. Yes.
Exactly. Athos Kiriakidis, who are both here this morning. Thank you. And thank you so much for coming to see us. First of all,
Thank you.
Well,
thanks for having us.
And congratulations.
Yeah, we're really proud to be on Netflix right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just amazing because, as Ricky Gervais said, really, every awards show should just be about Netflix now because the traditional movie business has completely given in to the world that Netflix now owns.
190 countries.
It's amazing. And who would want to leave the comfort of their own home rather than just watch whatever's there when they want to?
Mm. Yeah.
How they, and the best series are being bought up by Netflix, I hope. I'm not.
Listen, Amazon's giving them a run in their money, I think.
And I think HBO is still
HBO,
up there.
Amazon, and now Apple, obviously, entering the fray. But, you know, Netflix really, that's the name. When people say they're going to Netflix and chill, that's
who remembers a time when people used to get DVDs in the post? Because that's how Netflix started, right?
That's exactly right. And remember a time when people used to actually watch by appointment television?
Which sounds completely absurd now.
It does. So let me hear the story about where Agent came from. How long, because these things don't just happen overnight. Oh, yeah. How long ago did you start writing and conceiving of this series, Athos?
So I think I conceived it in 2010 during the World Cup here in South Africa. And it was just an idea that came to me. I thought there must be a lot of agents, football agents, in South Africa right now, wheeling and dealing behind the scenes, and it just fascinated me. And I also thought, like, I haven't really seen that before on television drama or feature films.
Did you know anyone in that world? Because it is fascinating. I mean, especially in South Africa.
How do you?
I didn't at the time
into that world.
At the time, I didn't. It was just an idea. But the more I kind of started writing in 2012, started getting in touch with some football agents here in South Africa, the big ones who had represented football stars and taken them to Europe. So I got a lot of insight talking to different agents about that, but also just professional football players telling me stories about what it actually happens behind the scenes and how shocking some of these stories are.
Well, I mean, we always joke, and Sisanda, you know what this is like, even though you portrayed the role, you probably know people who are in this world too. It's real human trade. Like, just because there are millions of dollars involved doesn't mean it isn't some kind of slavery in effect, because you belong to the club, you belong to agent, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's interesting, I suppose, now, because when you look at some athletes who try express political views, it gets very hot and sticky quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, if we look at American football stars, for example, who try to portray any political views, the entire league might just snub you. I mean, my character's on the opposite end because he, you know, he's a delinquent. But you're right.
A delinquent with a God complex.
I think a lot of footballers are like that,
yes,
frankly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're talking about like Colin Kaepernick, for example, who people eventually ask a question, well, who owns you? And that's something you can only ask in football. If you ask that in real life, if you ask that with regard to a corporate world, people would be horrified. But in football, it seems okay. You know, this person's being bought by this club. He's moving there for a year or two. He is
huge paycheck.
Contractually,
yeah,
but he's contractually obliged to do X, Y, and Z. And the only people who put these together in smoky rooms are these agents who are really powerful people.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the interesting thing about this show is that from the point of view of the agent, he's actually an agent who cares about his clients, which, you know, is unorthodox because most of them don't.
Yeah.
Most of them just care about their own pockets.
Right.
You know, lining their own pockets and getting their commission.
And I suppose being an ex-player changes how Blaze looks at the game and looks at the players because he was a player himself.
Right. I think so. So there's an element of like Spencer Strassmore in Ballers, played by The Rock.
Yeah.
You know, where he's invested in his own clients emotionally. And I think the same is certainly true for Blaze, our lead character.
So it's 13 parts in this series.
13 parts.
You filmed it mostly here and in Mauritius.
We actually filmed it mostly in Mauritius.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
90%
of it.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, it sounds better than it is, Gareth, because it comes with a lot of challenges, you know, like trying to cheat Joburg in Mauritius.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
You know, I mean, we still had to come back here and you know, and shoot some sequences in Joburg so that it married. But it was quite tricky.
By the way, were the Mauritians very keen to have you film there? Did they give you good deals?
Absolutely, yeah.
No, you need to,
the Mauritian people were really supportive, so excited to be involved in
See, movie making is expensive, right? And TV series now are like movies because the budgets are commensurate. They're not necessarily what you'd want them to be every time. But you have to find ways to save money. And if a place lets you have certain breaks in order to film there, it helps.
What attracted a few South African productions there actually is their rebates. So when that government started with the rebates, you had a few, even of the big Cape Town facilitating companies taking Hollywood films to Mauritius.
Yeah.
Just before we arrived, they just finished a McConaughey film there. The same crew had actually just worked on this movie. So now it was attractive for productions to come to Mauritius and to film there. Because the government rebate, right?
Right.
And now there's facilities, etc. So when they said to us, hey, listen, you're going to spend 3.5 months in Mauritius filming this thing, we're like, oh, okay. But like Arthur says, probably the challenge was matching the exterior. So we were in Mauritius, but a lot of the time we had to shoot interiors while we were there.
Yeah.
Only because the set, the story is mostly set in Joburg, and then
there are two episodes that are actually set in Mauritius.
Yeah.
And then there's other episodes. So there's an episode that's set in Cape Town, and there's another episode that's set in KZN.
Yeah,
it's all over South Africa.
Amazing. Mauritius parts look just stunning.
Listen, I just want to first of all say congratulations to you, Athos, because being able to put together a South African independently financed TV series for Netflix is just extraordinary. This is the first of its kind.
Thank you, Gareth. Yes, it is the first of its kind. I mean, they have made South African shows before, like Shadow was, I think, the first show that was on Netflix.
Yeah.
This one was, you know, Netflix had no involvement in the making of it, but once we had made it, they made an offer for it, and now it's on Netflix. And usually it wasn't always on every Netflix around the world. It used to be just localized.
Well,
but
that's
now,
what's nice about
now
this.
Now it's everywhere.
This is on every Netflix platform around the world.
Literally, you can watch this in Korea.
Mm. Beautiful.
I started watching some of it last night, and it just felt so comfortable watching it. You know, usually, I'm sorry to say, but with a lot of South African productions, there can be a cringeworthiness involved, and that's just because we are South African. I'm sure that
it's like
same,
if you saw your family on TV.
Yes, that's what it feels like. This was just so comfortable and so good to watch. It was, I'm a series fanatic, and it was something that I haven't seen before, like you say, it's not something that's been on TV or movies before. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching.
But listen, Susanda, it's worth commenting on the fact that you've been really busy lately. I mean, you're doing this role of Lesego Moleko in Agent, but you also were in Mnet's Trackers.
Yes.
I mean, that you've been busy, man.
Yeah.
Looking good, and you're apparently gearing up to star alongside Megan Fox in an action thriller movie.
Yes, there's that.
Listen to you. Oh, yeah. So first of all, dude, congratulations.
And if Thank we can just you. Say, Thank he's a you. Strapping young lad, very fit.
Oh.
And he has a little pink pen.
He's got a tiny little pink pen that he brought into the
Ditch
studio.
Ditch the pen if you're after Megan Fox.
Yeah, listen.
Maybe don't take that pen with you.
Yeah. Guys, it's actually the other way around. They had to hold Megan Fox.
Right.
There was to hold her back.
Yeah, they had to, you know, she was like, and I was looked at the director and I said, no, I'm kidding. I just stop her.
Because you know this will get back to her, right? No, but well done.
Thank
it sounds
you.
Like you are cleaning up.
Yeah, it's getting busy, and I'm proud of the South African producers that are also putting these things together.
Awesome.
Because even this Megan Fox picture is actually a co-production with a South African company that they actually originated it from here. And then, you know, more and more we're putting together these international co-productions, like Trackers is an HBO co-production with ZDF, which is a German national broadcaster. And
yeah, we had those guys in here last year.
Yeah.
We spoke to them about it.
Dion and Tim and the team. And, you know, we're really making world-class.
I'm so happy to hear this. Just tell me, you're living most of the year in LA or here?
I'm actually here. The irony is actually one of the leads on Trackers, James Alexander, is living there.
Okay.
And so he'd been working in LA, auditioning, getting roles here and there. But his huge, big part was shooting back home. And so I think the irony is now you don't necessarily have to move there because some of these, the kind of projects you want to do will be here right on your doorstep. So, and you know, even the likes of Netflix are doing original series and films. Yeah. That are filming from here. Not to say I would snub LA. Yes, I spent my time there. That was its own season. But, you know, the reality is there. A lot of people, you go there.
Everyone's an actor.
And a waiter.
Yeah, but well,
yes.
The guy parks your cars auditioning, trust me.
They are auditioning. You
but
know.
But it's a hard place.
It is, yeah. It is a hard place.
It's an unforgiving place.
You've been there, Atos, right?
I did, yeah. I went when I was much younger, and I ended up interning there for a year for a company called October Films, who did quite a lot of art house films like Lars von Trier, Mike Lee, those kinds of films. So that was my first introduction to the world of cinema.
But you've been busy too, man, over the years. I mean, didn't you write like 150 episodes of Scandal? You really
probably something like
you,
that.
You've been.
I did Isidinga. I did about 100. Yeah, probably about 200.
You've been in this business what 13, 14 years, just behind the scenes doing millions of
20,
things.
Yeah, I've done everything. I did a bit of film journalism where I was like interviewing some of my favorite filmmakers at film festivals.
Awesome.
And some of my favorite actors. So I guess that's all been like part of my development into becoming this filmmaker. That I am now.
And now you really are. I mean, like, not that you weren't before,
but the other thing
it's exciting to be acknowledged in respect of like Netflix saying we'll buy your series, you know.
No, it's incredible. I mean, I could never have imagined that at the start of it. But one of the things I wanted to bring up with you, Gareth, because I think you've probably gone through similar experiences. When you feel like a lot of your content is censored because you're working for broadcasters who don't want you to push the envelope or who don't want you to say something that might sound controversial. But in this show, it was like I had no limits. I could just follow the characters.
Yeah.
And if it meant, you know, this world, the characters swear a lot.
Yeah,
you know, there's probably more swear words in this South African show.
But that's how football is, right?
That's how football is, and you know, a lot of the personalities that I met behind the scenes kind of have that, you know, you know,
they're rough,
you know, and they swear a lot, and it's not necessarily in an insulting way. It's just the way they talk.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that the world that that entertainment comes from, and that news comes from, that movie making comes from, that world was controlled so much by studios, by executives, by the channels,
broadcasters.
And there was no way, and you've had so much experience of that, having worked on all the shows that you've worked on. It must have been really fun to just be able to be creative, do your thing, tell the true stories in the way that those people speak, and not have anybody interfere in your product.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was the most liberating working experience of my life. And I'm sure Sisan will back me up here, because his character is so extreme.
For you to play a character like that's great, right?
It is. And it's true what Athens is saying. We have so much freedom. I mean, some of our references was like Floyd Mayweather, right? And because you get guys from deep in the hood who get suddenly thrown into money. They're not going to be prim and proper and act like, you know, British royalty. No. Mm-hmm. They are those roughnecks that they are, but multi-millionaires, you know. So with Athos, I remember, because we had so much freedom, I remember this one scene, and we were like, it wasn't scripted like that. And I said, Athos, should we shoot this naked? And so remember the scene where there's the prostitute in the bedroom, and just before
this is such a great show. I gotta watch this.
He goes, and this is before he's supposed to show up for practice that afternoon. And it's like that with a lot of players, right? We used to talk about a lot of the South African great striker stars.
You know, like Benny McCarthy back in the day.
Yeah.
You know,
who else?
But even way more extreme than anyone we could think of, because he has a psychological issue.
If you remember, what's our other the other reference with what's his name? The American football. We shot this like 2 years ago. But anyway, him and his agent that was played by...
Are you talking about Ballers?
No. The show me the money!
Oh, Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Maguire,
yes. So in essence, we could actually go that honest. We didn't have to censor the stuff.
Mm.
And the guys, those are their lifestyles. So my research before we left, in just hanging out with some of the football stars in Joburg, the guys who've made money just in the clubs and like...
They live a life, man.
Especially when you're in your prime, you're getting the bonuses, you're scoring the goals, you're playing every week. And then if you're winning awards as well and you're in the newspaper every Monday for having scored, I mean, that's bonus upon bonus upon bonus.
But it's also going straight to your head as well. You know, you feel like you're above everyone else.
Sounds like the kind of show we should all get into.
Mm.
I love it. Well, listen, congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure to have you both in here. I hope we'll see more of you in the coming year. But well done. This is a great series, something we should watch, and something I think a lot of people all over the world on Netflix are going to get into. So if you want to know more, then all you need to do is head over to your Netflix like you would for anything else. It's so nice to be able to tell people to just do what they're already doing rather than try to sell them something they aren't. And you can go and check out this brilliant series. It is on Netflix. It is called... Agent. And you can go and watch Sisanda doing his thing. It's very, very cool.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Thanks
awesome.
Very much.
And thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Still say that. I hope it's going to be an amazing year. I hope there's going to be lots of good stuff in it for us. And tonight, just so that you have something to do, at 8:20 p.m., you must go and look at your watch or your clock or whatever else you have on your computer or your phone. 2020
2020
will happen. Oh, wow. Yes.
Some people think this stuff's really meaningful. So go. And anyone who screenshots that and sends it to me tomorrow, you will be banned from listening to us forever.
Like the year 2000 bug, remember that?
Yeah.
The 1999.
Y2K.
And people packed tins of food.
We all thought we were going to die because everything was going to fail.
There were a few technical glitches.
Oh, please.
But it wasn't the end of the world, that's for
sure. It was ridiculous. It was nothing. All right, very, very good.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to see Athos and Sisanda. And you can go and check out Agent. Okay. We've got episode 6 of season 2 of Decrypto. This is very exciting. The technology behind cryptocurrencies, sometimes a little bit daunting, but it is all about becoming part of the future of money. And Luno makes it really simple. Take a listen to this. You can buy 100 rands worth of Bitcoin and get 100 rand free if you go onto Luno now and you buy with the code DECRYPTO. So make sure you put in the code DECRYPTO. Decrypto, you'll get 100 rands worth of Bitcoin for every 100 rand of Bitcoin you buy. Well, if you buy 100 rand, you get 100 rand free, so to speak. Valid from the 4th of November 2019 last year to 29 February of this year. Terms and conditions apply. Go and take a look. Head on over to Decrypto's Season 2. It's brought to you by Luno and Cliff Central. Take a listen to this. The technology behind cryptocurrencies may be a little daunting to most, but becoming part of the future of money is anything but. Luno makes it really simple. We're at Luno headquarters in Cape Town, where Luno's head of product, Alex Koller, explains how once you've downloaded the app and signed up, it's easy to start investing and spending your crypto.
Luno makes it easy and as safe as possible to buy cryptocurrency in four quick steps. Simply sign up with Luno, verify your identity, deposit money into your Luno wallet, and buy some crypto. So let's look at signing up and verifying your identity. This is a digital process. It's all done online. It's as simple as downloading the Luno app and entering basic identity details such as your name, contact details, and ID number. You might be asked for a selfie and copy of your ID. Once you've verified your identity, which should be done in a few minutes, you can deposit money via EFT or bank transfer into your Luno wallet. Then you can choose whether you want to buy Bitcoin or Ethereum, or both. These are the two cryptocurrencies traded on Luno right now, with more coming soon. Simply enter the amount in rands that you'd like to buy and you're done. You're now part of the future of money. A common misconception is that you have to buy a whole Bitcoin, which is trading at about 150,000 rand right now. The good news is that you can buy a tiny fraction of a Bitcoin, as little as 10 rands worth on Luno. I personally tend to buy around 200 rands worth at a time because I think of this as a nice meal, a small treat, which I'm happy to forego for a little bit of Bitcoin. Once you've bought Bitcoin or Ethereum, or both, on Luno, you can track the value of your cryptocurrency in rands in the Luno app. We show you both the combined value of all of your cryptos as well as each one. You can also set price alerts to notify you if the price goes above or below the price that you set. Selling cryptocurrency is just as easy as buying. Simply select the sell option and enter the amount in rands that you want to sell. You can then withdraw that money into your personal bank account. For people looking for more advanced trading features, we also provide a fully featured exchange on web and mobile. On the exchange, you can set limit orders that get executed based on conditions that you set. We also provide an API where it's even possible to create trading bots. There are transaction fees payable for buying and selling cryptocurrencies, which range between 0.5 and 2% per transaction. So remember, you can get started with as little as 10 Rand, and having a small amount of Bitcoin gives you an incentive to really understand how cryptocurrency works and why it's so important for the future of finance. If you'd like to learn more about the basics of cryptocurrency, visit the Luno Learning Portal at luno.com/learn.
Decrypto is everything you need to know about buying, trading, and spending cryptocurrency. Brought to you by Luno. Only on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.